Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now let's hear the other side of it when it comes to contact tracing. Who is doing well? One country regularly held up as an example of excellent testing and tracing is South Korea. The country has registered 450 COVID-related deaths from a population of over 50 million. I've been finding out more from CNN's Korea correspondent Paula Hancox.
It's pretty remarkable, Cormac, what South Korea has managed to do. They do have experience of this. They've been through MERS back in 2015. They've been through SARS as well. So this isn't the first virus that they're handling. So certainly they've learned lessons from the past. They've got a very good healthcare. They've got a universal healthcare. They've been testing, tracing and treating. This is their mantra, test, trace, treat. And they say that this has managed to allow the death toll to be remarkably low, considering how many people are in the country.
Okay, so let's drill down a little bit. What are the figures like at the moment?
The figures are pretty good. They do have a fair bit of bandwidth to have more people within the ICU. What they do in South Korea is anybody who has tested positive has to go into either hospital if you need it or some kind of government facility. You're not allowed to sit it out at home and try and isolate yourself. They want people who have tested positive to stay completely away from others. But they learned early on that not everybody has to be in hospital. They did early on have trouble with a lack of hospital beds because they realized that they were clogging them up with people that simply weren't that sick. So they have other facilities now where they put people who are asymptomatic or not suffering too badly. But when it comes to the hospitals, that they're doing well. They say they do have the bandwidth for these numbers to go higher.
Mm. There's always a dispute here, Paula, in terms of are we testing enough? Are we testing quickly enough? And are we tracing enough people quickly enough as well? What's their testing regime like there, first of all?
The testing is quite remarkable here. And the key, I think, is that they started so early. They had their first case on January 20th. And then just a number of days later, the government got all the chief executives of about 20 pharmaceutical companies, put them in a room and said, this is going to be serious. What do we do about it? How can we test for this? This is going to become a pandemic. So they had the foresight and, of course, the experience of previous outbreaks to know that it needed to be done. In fact, one of the companies, even before there was the first case in South Korea, was already starting to develop a test. So that's really what allowed them to get a handle of it really quickly. They were testing prolifically. They had drive-through testing, so you didn't have to clog up the hospital system and you didn't have to have potential patients mixing with the general hospital population. And when it comes to tracing, I mean, contact tracing here is prolific as well. The privacy laws are lower than they are in many other countries. And I think some countries in Europe and certainly the United States probably wouldn't want to have the level of tracing and tracking that they have here.
Why? Give me an example.
But they have, well, as soon as you have tested positive, within 10 to 20 minutes, and they have your phone number, they put it into a system. They know exactly where you've been for the past 48 hours. They take your credit card number, and they can tell that really backs it up exactly where you have been. They use CCTV, they use GPS, they use everything at their disposal to find out exactly where you've been. And then what they do, if you've been to a very busy area, they'll put out an emergency alert on the mobile phone to people who have been in that area as well. Mm-hmm. So you know instantly if you're starting to feel like you have symptoms and you've been close to another patient, then you know you need to go and get yourself tested. But people here don't mind. They don't feel that it's pushing their privacy because of the experience of MERS. After MERS, they didn't handle that particularly well. They didn't have enough testing and tracing. And there was bipartisan support for lowering the privacy laws. So if it ever happened again, they could track people.
So you're well placed to compare, say, the UK or even Ireland culturally with South Korea. Is there a culture of compliance there? No matter what the government wants, they almost accept it.
Absolutely not. I mean, I hear this a lot, that there's so much compliance. This is a democratic country, and every Saturday afternoon there are anti-government rallies, in normal times, of course. And it's people here speak up if they don't like what's going on. So it's not that it's a compliant society. There is, I mean, I describe it as a social solidarity people here wear masks because they want to protect themselves, but they also feel a responsibility to protect other people. This social solidarity has been here through a number of different infectious diseases, the virus of MERS, of SARS. They understood that masks were important and that they needed to try and protect the weaker members of the society. So, yes, I mean, in South Korea, we are more used to wearing masks. You see South Koreans in normal times, if they've got a cold or they're feeling quite ill, they might wear a mask so they don't infect other people. So there definitely is that culture of mask wearing. Yeah.
There's a big debate going on here today, as of yesterday, since it's been announced by the government that we're about to enter level 5 restrictions from tomorrow, about schools and whether schools can remain open or not. What's the story like in South Korea in terms of schooling?
Schools are open at this point, but they're not full. So just a little while ago, they allowed more people to come in. But most people and students in Korean schools are doing every other day or 2 days on, 3 days off. It's definitely not at full capacity. Now, they say that they're working towards that, and they have lowered the levels of social distancing in the past few days. In fact, it's down at level one now, the lowest level it can be, because they believe that, you know, the increases we're seeing every day, maybe between 50 and 100, is at a manageable level. So they believe that they can start introducing more students into school. But it's a zero tolerance policy. As soon as there's one case in any school, it instantly closes down and everybody goes back to online learning, not just the class, but the entire school.
And that was CNN's Korea correspondent Paula Hancock speaking to me earlier on.